Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is your boy, Deacon Trancy Odom, coming to you live from the hottest block talk radio show, it's the Barber Shop. Excuse me. I hope everyone had a blessed weekend. I hope everyone enjoyed this weather we're having. Still wrap up because it's new morning weather. You can't get sick because it's warm. Still need to wrap up because this weather is changing by the minute, by the second. I know recently I just got sick because of change of the weather. I know a lot of other people have been sick as well. So I encourage you to wrap up, take your meds. Don't go out there trying to be grown. You know, just take care of yourself. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom. Welcome to the Barber Shop. Before we get started, like we always do, we always have prayer. The call-in number is 657-383-1505. 657-383-1505 and press 1 if you want to make a comment or a statement or just want to say anything. And I will call out your last four numbers. And just let the Holy Ghost have its way. Try to keep it to a minimum of 3 minutes. But, you know, God has touched your heart for you to say something. Just let it go. Feel free. You know, I encourage everyone to call in to participate. You know, this is what we do here at the Barber Shop. We want everybody to participate because we never know what someone is going through. And today we're going to talk about God, family, and relationship. With that real quick, like I always do, we're going to start off with prayer, and then we're just going to go in and have some fun. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for the activities of our land. God. We honor you and we glorify you on this day, God. We look up to you, God, and just give us strength in a time of need, God. God, we know someone right now is being pronounced dead right now, God. We're asking you to send your angels of joy, peace, and comfort. God, we just want you to touch that family right now and let them know that everything is okay. God, we know that you make no mistakes. Thank you, Jesus. We look to you, God, for you to do it, you know, to just give us that wisdom and that strength that we need, God. God, but we know we have to do our part. So, God, give us the strength. Give us hope. Give us peace. Give us joy. God, we count on you every minute, every second of the day, God. We know someone out there right now, God, is struggling right now, God. Don't know where to turn to. Someone is fighting depression. Someone is fighting alcoholism. God, someone is going through a domestic violence right now, being beat up on right now, God. But we ask you to send your angels of protection and angels of healing. God, someone right now is brokenhearted right now, God, due to a relationship, God. But we're asking you to send your angels, God, to heal. God, we love on you, God. If we had 10,000 tongues, God, it wouldn't be enough to tell you thank you. You know the ending, and you know our beginning. God, but we just love on you today, God. We're just asking you to show yourself worthy, God. Holy Spirit, have your way on this show today, God. We're asking anyone, God, who feel like they want to release something, God, release, surrender, and give it all to God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chance Owen, the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show, the Barber Shop. Like I said, we're talking about God, family, and relationship. The last two Sundays we were talking about we are family. And we know God is in the midst of everything. He has to be number one in everything. Because if not, then whatever you're trying to do, the goals you're trying to accomplish, you won't succeed. You know, a lot of people think that they become successful. They do all these great things, but they fail to realize, they think they do it by themselves, but they fail to realize it was God who gave them the wisdom, the intelligence, how to solve problems or to do anything. We have to recognize that if it weren't for God, we wouldn't be able to accomplish a lot of things that we do in life, even the little small things. You know, we take things for granted. And it was a struggle today because I was trying to figure out what I really want to talk about. And I know the last couple of weeks, you know, like I said, we was talking about we are family. And I noticed that a lot of people had been posting that they lost loved ones. And that's when the Holy Spirit led to me to talk about family. And today, you know, it was the same way. I really didn't know what to talk about, you know, but God laid it on my heart to still stick within the family range, the family area. And we're talking about God, family, and relationship. And we know that God should be the number one in our life, even in marriage. I know you're married to that special woman, you're married to that special man, but God is number one. In everything we do, we should have God as number one. Shouldn't put him on the back burner, but sometimes that's how we treat God. And, you know, we could be transparent. A lot of times we forget all about God until we get put up in a jam or a snag. That's when we really want to call on him, when we're in a jam and a snag. But why not thank him when everything is good? Because we all know that we're going to have our good days, we're going to have our bad days. But in the midst of those good days, you know, still praise God. Even in your bad days, still praise God, regardless of what the situation is. Because I just came back from a homegoing service to my Aunt Kim. And my Aunt Kim was one of my biggest fans on the barbershop. You know, Aunt Kim would come up here and tell him how proud she was of me, how much she loved me. And the whole while, I didn't know Aunt Kim was telling my family up in Jersey and Philly what I was really doing on a radio show. And it touched my Uncle Chris hard that he started listening in. and it touched my cousin Jimmy. Because, like I said, we never know what someone is going through. So we always should tell our testimony, regardless of whether it's a big or small testimony, it's a testimony. And I encourage everyone to do that. You know, that's a part of what we're talking about now, God, family, relationship. You know, God is the centerpiece. It's the foundation. God honors family. God honors marriages. You know, he wants us to live a successful life. He wants us to have love and peace in our heart. You know, sometimes, you know, things happen. You know, we lose a loved one. And we talk about this as well. And when it comes to family, that's the only time, you know, sometimes God has to shake up the family to get your attention. And, you know, sometimes we get mad because he take a loved one from us. But sometimes we have, not sometimes, but we have to understand that all of us is going to leave this earth one day. But we don't know when. And we have to cherish our family, love our family. You know, like they said, don't give me flowers when I'm dead and gone. Give me flowers while I'm still here on earth so I'll be able to enjoy them. You know, we encourage people, you know, spend time with family. You know, because a lot of people don't have that strong knit family, you know, where they can hang out, laugh, and, you know, do things around the house or go on family trips together, you know, or just have a cookout out the blue. You know, there's a lot of families that don't do that. You know, that's what we talked about last week. We were talking about, you know, the man is the glue of the family. The man is the head of the house. You know, we take things for granted. You know, there's people now that would love to have a family that they can sit around the table with, have dinner, or watch football games, or watch movies, or play card games or dominoes or Monopoly, little small stuff like that. It means a lot. And so we try to encourage people to enjoy your family. You know, we all know we got that someone in our family that we can't stand, that we don't like. But at the end of the day, it's still your family. There's nothing you can do about it. You can still love them from a distance. But take the time out to really find out what the problem is. Why we don't get along together. What's the problem? You got to get to the root of the problem in order to solve it. You know, it's sad that that's the only time, you know, we get together is during a funeral. You know, we talked about back in the days when we were coming up, it won't no problem or having a cookout on the weekend. You can call your family up north, boom, they on the road Friday, they come. But how often do we see people still talk about family reunions or doing family trips together? You know, I used myself last two times we talked about this. I was transparent about my family. And it's like I said, we just had a homegoing service for my Aunt Kim. And it was sudden that it happened. But this weekend, there was no animosity. There was love, there was joy, there was peace. And as I was sitting there, because my mom spoke at the homegoing, and the things I just talked about we are family, she came back and preached the same thing. So that's how I know that I was doing the right thing, what God told me to do. Because we need family, whether you like it or not. We need each other, simple point blank. You know, we need each other. We have to build that relationship because we never know when someone is going through or somebody might need help. You know, as Christians, as spiritual people, we should put the differences aside to when it comes to doing kingdom business, doing what God called us to do. It's still a relationship. You know, even in family, if you and this person don't get along, but y'all trying to accomplish something in the family, or put a party together, or put a reunion together, you know, you have to put the differences to the side. It's not about what y'all got going on. It's about building the family back up. You know, and we can say, Pastor Jay also said last week that we talk about us as men, including myself, that we drop the ball when it comes to family. We have, us as men, me included, we have dropped the ball, not just family, but all areas, even in the churches. Now, how we let one woman take prayer out of school? And look what happened. Our kids can't even go to school. They're afraid to go. We'll never know what's going to happen in the schoolhouse. You know, it's sad that, you know, us as men need to link arms back again and take our rightful place. And especially when it comes to family, we need to step up and represent. You know, that's what anybody that's in the family. You know, represent your family. You know, put the differences aside. You know, love on each other. You know, cause God, like I said, God honors family and marriages. He honors relationships when you put him before everything else. You know, we know we still going to have our good days and our bad days. That's life. That's part of the relationship, whether it's marriage, boyfriend and girlfriend, fiance, family relationship, church. You got a relationship in the church. But God is the center, is the number uno for all relationships. Excuse me. And I encourage everyone to really just think about your family. Think of some things that you can do to change your family. You know, to have a cookout or some or a reunion. Or just call them and say, hey, I was thinking about you. You know, because whether we realize it or not, family is family. Family is strong. When you're all on the same page, it's just like when you're in the ministry. When the leadership is strong in the church, then the rest of the church should be strong too. But we also talk about, you know, we have cliques in the church, which is not, that's outside. You know, why you want to have cliques in the, I would say gangs in the church. Hey, let's keep it real. Cliques in the church. And we wonder why people don't come to church. It's because the same thing going on in the church is going on out there in the world. Well, you can't hang with us because you ain't got this kind of money. Well, you know, you can't be with us because you don't live in this type of house. You don't have this type of car. But when you go back and look at it, don't know this stuff belongs to us. Everything that we got belongs to God, all the way down to our last penny in our pocket. Everything belongs to him. And it's sad that we let little small stuff tap a relationship, a family, tap a church. Little small stuff. You know, it's sad that we let things get this far. When all it takes is just a matter of sit down and talk about it. You know, you might not want to talk about it at that moment, but at least take your time and like, okay, let the person cool off. Then you can come together as adults. But realize, you know, stop talking time, because you're both talking at the same time. No one's listening. But talk to that person, not at that person. Because if you talk to that person, they would sit there and listen. But when you talking at them, when you coming at them, like it, we all know sometimes we get in our defense mode. We all done it, including myself. You know, and I tell you, Harvey, I'm not perfect. I still let God work on me. None of us perfect, tell you the truth. But we have to better ourselves, and people have to understand the things that we are going through, the things that we are going through. Like I said, a closed mouth don't get fed. Bet God to give you a blessing when you got your hands closed. You know, we have to value family. We have to value our relationship, whether it's a friendship, marriage, best friends, or co-workers. Neighbors, all of those are relationships. You know, and I thank God for giving me this God family relationship. Because he gave this to me when my cousin passed away. at the age of 47, just like my dad passed away at the age of 47. You know, it was scary for me. You know, I'm thinking, will I live to see 48 next year? It makes you think about life itself. You know, sometimes we love to point the finger at everybody else, but we fail to realize you have three fingers pointing back at yourself. You know, I'm guilty. I tell him, I hold myself accountable for the things and the decision I make, because we make one bad decision. It don't just affect us. It affects everyone that we're in a relationship with. Family. And it also messes our relationship up with God. Especially when he done told you, no, don't go that way. But when he always tell us to seek him first. You know, when we go through things, the first thing we want to do, we want to call our family and our friends instead of going to God first. And we have to realize that when we go through, if he brought us through one situation, what makes you think he's not going to bring us through another situation? But we have to deny ourselves and let God do his part. You know, just like we folks say they self-made millionaires, you're not no self-made millionaire. God gave you the tools, the wisdom to become a millionaire, a billionaire. And it's sad when these folks do all this, they don't never recognize God. It gave them the wisdom, the knowledge to do these things. So we have to thank God everything that we do. Everything that we, big decisions, don't let your emotions get in the way. Because we know when we get emotional, we will make a bad decision. In leadership, we can't get emotional. And being an entrepreneur, you can't let your emotions get the best of. Because sometimes we know, majority of the time, when we get real emotional, we make a wrong decision. And that wrong decision can affect the whole thing, the whole project. Your whole getting a contract for a business. You know, people don't understand when you are business minded, people have that business mind, it's gonna take for you to work with your relationship with family for interest. When I was doing my business, my mom got mad. You spend a lot of time doing this, what about family? But she failed to realize this is the reason why I got my business, so I can have that time to enjoy a family. Not saying I can't go to some of the functions, but some of the time when you become an entrepreneur, you have to change your mindset. We're still talking about relationships. You know, whenever you get in a relationship, just say you meet this person and, you know, you're single and you've been hanging around your girls or the fellas. And all of a sudden, this person comes into your life. Then, you know, you have to make time for that person. You know, people get mad, now you got somebody, now you can't hang with, but wait a minute. You've been having a relationship longer than I have. So why not let me enjoy the relationship that I'm getting into? You know, we have to be able to support one another, you know, even with family. You know, someone's getting married. You know, support them regardless whether you don't like them or not. That's still your family at the end of the day. But we also have to make sure that we put God in everything we do, everything. Because without him, we all are nothing. We cannot do nothing without God. Some people think they can, but they fail to realize, who woke you up in the morning? You might say the alarm clock, but God gave somebody the wisdom to design an alarm clock. So we have to acknowledge God in everything we do, everything. Like I said, he brought you through one storm, brought you through the valley, he can bring you through again. You know, that's why I encourage people to really evaluate your relationship with God. Don't have a relationship because your grandmama, your granddaddy, you know, all of them told you to do it. No, you have that relationship for yourself. Then you can experience the things that he will show you. But one thing about it, you have to deny yourself, to surrender. You know, yeah, it's hard. This walk with God, it's hard. But you know what? It's worth it. I can speak for me. I know it's been hard and difficult for me. And it still is. Because when God is about to take you to that next level, there's going to be things that you're going to have to do in silence, alone. But God is still with you. There's going to be some times you're going to have to, wait a minute. You know, I can't spend time with family today. I got to do this. You know, when you're in a relationship, there's going to be some time, especially when you're in leadership, you got to have that balance. And I think a lot of people don't realize you have to have balance when you're in the ministry or when you're in a leadership period. You have to have balance. Then you still have to understand that person. That's why he said you have to take the time to know them. Get to know them. Find out what their past was like. You know, that's why I would tell people, you know, to tell your testimony. You know, that's how we learn. And it's sad that they don't even do that in church no more. Well, that's what we learn, because somebody can be going, I could be going through something and hear somebody tell me, oh, man, they went through that. Oh, cool. Now I know how to get through it. I was telling someone the other day, you know, when I first went to my old church, you know, it was kind of scary when you got a bunch of men sitting together. And then all of a sudden, everybody start telling their testimony. And that make you think, like, oh, wow. You know, I was afraid to tell the things that I went through or the things that I've done. But then when you hear one person tell it, then you're like, yo, for real? Then this person tell it. Then the next one tell it. And then when it got down to the pastor, he told his pastor, oh, man, I'm in the right group. I don't feel bad. But that's when you have to have that relationship. Not just in a church, with your friends, your boys, your girls. You know, sometimes just take the time out to really get to know that person. It's not always about going to the game, going to the sports bar, shoot food, go bowling. Just go out to eat a couple of times. And just, how was your day? What's on your mind? You know, because we never know what someone is going through. Somebody can be one footstep from jumping off a bridge. It could be somebody one that finger on the trigger. It could be somebody ready to take that whole bottle of pills. That's when it comes that we have to make sure we have a strong relationship, family, coworkers, church, you know, all of those things, your neighbor. All of those are relationships. But we also know that we got to have God in the forefront. He's got to be that foundation for the relationship. Even with family, you got to have that strong foundation. You got to put God in it. God honors relationships. He honor marriages. He honor family. If we deny ourselves, and let God do what he's going to do, I guarantee you, once you learn how to deny yourself, you can see God move. Stop trying to think you can do everything, or I can handle this, I can solve. No. We got a caller, 2786.
All right.
Go ahead, caller.
All right, Chunky. How you doing?
Yo, what's up, Uncle Chris?
I'm good. I'm good. And how are you?
Hey, man, I ain't making no noise, though. Just, you know, trying to encourage the folks, you know. We talking about God, family, and relationship. You know, and I'm just, you know, just encouraging everybody to build that relationship with God, not just for our great-grandma, my grandmama, or our granddaddies. You know, we have to build that relationship with God as well. We have to have that own personal relationship with them. And it's amazing. I was telling them what we encountered this weekend. Because before all of this happened, God had laid it on my heart to do the topic, We Are Family. And I told them, you know, how my mom preached about for it to be small, but it was powerful. Everything don't have to be big and don't have to be real big. They always say little things, big things come in small packages. And what little bit of time that she was up there, it impacted everybody that was listening. And I was paying attention to it. And the Holy Spirit led me. We just talked about this 2 weeks ago. So now God dropped it on my spirit today to talk about God, family, and relationship. You know, because no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances are, at the end of the day, we still family. And we have to stop playing. But this is what God told me when my cousin passed away. He told me to tell my family, stop playing family and be a family. See, we think we know everything, but we don't know everything. God knows everything. Sometimes God has to take a family member or something to get our attention to let us know that he's still in control.
It's one thing
I noticed that when we lose a loved one, we found out the things they did that impacted a lot of people. Because they moved in silence. They didn't never brag. They didn't never boast about what they done. But when at the end of the day, that's when we found out, wow, they did all of this. And to hear people on the same page as, well, this is how they impacted my life. This is what they've done. This is how they made me smile. This is the things they've done. You know, even with my Aunt Kim, I was already at peace, but I still got emotional yesterday. But I always remember what she told me, that she was proud of me, that she loved me, and for me to keep doing. I could sit here today and tell you I was looking for that phone call about 6:25. Nephew, you doing the show today at 6:30? I'm going to be up there.
Wow.
But I know Aunt Kim is still listening to the show. I know her spirit. Me and her spirit had class. And this is what I'm telling you people out here. This is the relationship you need to have with family members, that you can sense when something is wrong, something is bothering them. And just believe God will give you that gift of discernment to know when something ain't right. If that person come on your heart, don't sit there and wait. Call them, text them, go by the house, check on them. It's a reason why God put that person on your heart so heavy, on your mind so heavy, he wants you to go check on. That's why I was at peace yesterday. I did shed my tears. It was my tears of joy because I know my Aunt Kim. And I seen the people that she impacted in her life. So that's why I'm saying, guys, have that strong family relationship, because we have to enjoy them while they're here, because we never know when our time is coming or somebody else in the family time is coming. So why not cherish the family? Why not get back to having reunions, cookouts, birthday parties, family trips, or do something? because we don't know when our time is up. Put the pettiness of the stuff aside, relationship with your family and your relationship with God. But believe me, without God, none of this stuff that we think we doing, that we trying to accomplish, is going to work if we don't have God in front of us and we don't have him as the foundation. Your marriage won't be successful. Your relationship with your kids won't be successful. Your family relationship with your parents, whoever, friends, co-workers, next-door neighbors. We have to have God in the center of all of this in order for all of this to be successful. We got another caller, 71957195.
Good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, good evening, brother. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, all right. Just listening in. Listening in to the show this evening, and, I was thinking, you know, how it's so true of the words you're saying. I was thinking back to, the realm of being my brother's keeper, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I broke that word down as we was just, I mean, as I was sitting here listening to you, my brother's keeper, you know, my is being mine. In other words, mine, my brother, my sister, my family, my church family, my spiritual family. And then I broke down brothers, you know, brothers as meaning family, not just your biological family, but your spiritual family also,
mm-hmm.
which includes the church. The church is your family,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And keeper is also protector. In other words, to warn or advise of foreseen obstacles or danger. You know,
mm-hmm.
whether my age is older or younger than yours, if through the trials and tribulations of my life, if I can foresee that my brother or my sister is heading down a road that I know is destruction, I have a duty and a job to forewarn you or to suggest with brotherly love to say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just giving you a warning that the Lord is telling me to tell you. That, hey, this may not be the route that you want to take. And therefore, like I said, with being my brother's keeper, there's a responsibility and there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay.
Mm-hmm.
If I sit back along the roadside and I watch my brother or my sister driving down a road that I know is a dead end, they might go to the dead end, but when they go to the dead end and find that they can't go anymore, to be honest with you, that's opening the door for chastisement to come my way, because I had ample opportunity to forewarn them not to go that route, and I didn't. And see, these are little things that God tells us to say, hey, now you watched your brother or you watched your sister go down this road, and you had the opportunity and the wisdom and knowledge to forewarn them, and you didn't. So once again, this is another way that God tends to take us as little children and give us that little pat on the pimple. You know what I mean? You know that little pat
mm-hmm.
on the pimple that you give a kid, you know, say you're holding a child in your arms and you put the child on the floor and you're letting them take those baby steps, you kind of give them a little boost along the way as you pat them on the back of the pimple. Well, that's how God does us. It may be a light pat. Sometimes it can be a little bit more stronger pat. And the strength of that pat is kind of like the severity of what we need. So I was just listening, and that came to my recollection. That came to my recollection about, you know, why we're here today. And, you know, these are things that I really take seriously. If I may, I was listening also, and something came to my notion that I would like to share. This is something that dropped in my spirit this week after listening to last week's program. You know, a good friend of mine told me last week to send them a word during the week. So this is what I sent, and I don't mean to hold you up long, but this is what I want to send. I told him, I said, you told me to send you a word. Well, not like you don't already know, but this just dropped in my spirit. It's okay to be, and we have to be weak in Christ. Hear what I said once again. It's okay to be, and we have to be weak in Christ. The reason why we have to be weak is because if we're so strong and we think we can do it all ourselves, then God will sit back and let you go on by yourself. And it won't be long before you get broken all the way down to nothing. You'll get broken all the way down to nothing. And then God can work in your favor, because you aren't in his way. Once again, once he breaks you down to nothing, then he can work, because you're not in his way. And that's why his word says, for when ye are weak, I am strong. He didn't say, when you strong, I'm strong. If you strong, then he don't need to be strong. He don't need to be strong if you strong. The Lord said, I will fight your battles. I'm going to say it again. The Lord said, I will fight your battles. But if you want to fight all your battles yourself, what do you need me for? So that was just something that dropped in my spirit this week. As you know, I drive a truck throughout the week, and I'm on the road, and I drive through all cities and towns that I go through, and I just scan my radio and find a sermon to listen to, and this is something that pricked my spirit. I listen to so many sermons that just fill me up throughout the week, and please know that each and every one of y'all, whether I know you or not, I'm praying for you, and I pray for you each and every week.
Appreciate that. That was some good stuff. It's, you know, like when you talked about brothers, keepers. You know, I've always talked about the friends that I have. You know, we've been friends almost 30 years. My daughter just turned 26 last month. My son will be 30 this week. So,
Amen.
That's why when you have friends and, you know, and family, you have to have that strong bond. Because, like I said, we never know when our time is up. But we have to cherish the moments that we're here on this earth. You know, we can't keep playing around and thinking, you know, God is a forgiving God. But just like you said, sometimes he sit back, okay, you think you can do this, then we'll go ahead. But sometimes he let us go through these things because we're hard-headed, we're stubborn. And it always goes back to, like Pastor Jay keep telling us all the time, we have to deny ourselves. And it's sad, you don't want God to break you all the way down. Believe me, I'm speaking from experience. You don't want him to put you in a situation where you can't call on nobody but him. Please, I tell people right now, if God is touching your heart and you want to give your life to Christ, by all means, do it. Don't keep running. Because, all you're doing is running. You can't hide. Why do we think we hide from God, or the things that we do, we're hiding it from him? When he sees all, he knows all. He already knows what we're going to do before we even do it. Excuse me. And just like I want to tell you, always keep doing what God leads in your heart for you to do something, for you to witness to somebody. And it's for everybody else to do it. Just like I said, when God put that person on your mind, on your heart, for him, for you to call them or go check on them, do it. It's a reason why God laid them on your heart. They are going through something, or they just need somebody to talk to, or they might have a word for you. But when any time God give you a message to take to somebody, please be obedient and do it. Because I've learned, you don't want that blood on your hands. Just like you said, at the end of the day, when God has told you, just like Jeffrey said, warning comes before destruction. We already know that. But God already told you that somebody's coming behind you. And you know this road is a dead end road. I don't snag you from that storm, that trial, that circumstance of tribulation. I need for you to go warn them. Now, it's one thing when you go relay the message and they keep going, the blood is not on your hand. Because at the end of the day, they grown and they're going to make their own decision. But if God tells you to go do this and you don't, believe me, there's consequences behind it. It's just like in real life. If your boss gives you something to do and you don't do it by the end of the day, that's consequences. You might lose your job. It's the same way when God asks you to go get somebody some money or go by and see them or take them something to eat. They're going through something. I need for you to go give them this word. And if you don't go give them that word, you got to handle that situation. With that's between you and God, because he told you to do it. Please, if somebody comes on your heart this week or even to later on today, if a person comes to your mind and your heart, believe me, that's God letting you know, call them. Always remember, we have to put ourselves in a situation, position ourselves that we are able to hear God. God will let you know what to do for that person or what to say to that person. He will give you those words. And I encourage everyone to move out the way, deny your flesh. Yeah, it's not easy. Deny this flesh, because this flesh is a mess and it will get you in trouble. But once you start learning how to deny yourself and move out the way and let God, like Jeffrey said, God said, I fight your battles. God hasn't lost a fight and will never lose a fight. So why would you sit here and be on this person's team where they get their butt kicked every day and you can go cross there and this guy is undefeated?
So, brother, you know, it's just like, you know, like you were stating about, you know, once you been out there and you go out there and you get beat down, say, by the world, and then you sit and we have a tendency to be hiding from God, where you got to realize that carnal nature of trying to so-called hide from God, that goes all the way back to the Adam days. You know, you think about it. When Adam sinned, you got to think about it. He was walking around that garden naked, doing work, doing things for God. Didn't have no clue of what naked was, but yet, Once he sinned, what did he do? He wanted to run off and hide because he felt ashamed. He felt ashamed and he thought he could hide from God. But then you think about it, what did he ask him? God asked him, who told you that you was naked? What you know about naked? You know, I gave you all you need. I gave you all you need on the inside and the outside. Now you have sinned, and now you want to say, that you feel naked. You know, say that you're naked. Well, understand this. You know, God has the final say. God has the final say. And just like you stated, when you get knocked down, know that you can pick yourself up. See, we got a problem with not thinking that he can do what he said he can do. You know, I don't know about you. I don't like putting limits on my God. That's one thing I've always tried not to do. I try to never put limits on my God because I know what he can do. I know what he can do. And he has showed up and showed out each and every time. But we have to know that, and if we run across people that think that they don't, or if we run across people that don't know what he can do, we have to tell the dying world. Sometimes we have to get intimate and tell them our particular testimony in order for them to get a better understanding. Because if you tell the world your individual testimony, it lets them know just that more intimate how real he is and what he can do. Because don't get me wrong, I can tell you about a God that can move mountains and that can turn water into wine, and how he fed, you know, with five fish and five loaves. I can tell these things, but the thing is, if I tell someone that knows me, tell them my particular testimony, they can see it a little more in reality. They can see it a little more to say, oh, I get it now. I see it now. I can see it because I know you particularly. I know where you were, where you come from, and where you are at now.
Mm-hmm. We got like 7 minutes. Let me get this last. Oh, guess they don't want to talk. 6317.
Yes, sir. What's happening?
Hello.
What's going on?
Pastor Jay, what's going on?
Pastor. How y'all doing?
Y'all
doing all right?
Blessed.
Well, good.
Blessed.
Well, good. I just working and taking a little break to put my 2 cents in. I just want to say that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And is that Brother Dunstan? Deacon Dunstan,
yes, sir.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
I just want to say something to you that you said a few minutes ago that kind of vexed my spirit. You said you try not to limit your God. That's where the problem come in at. You try not. We got to not limit him. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding and in all your ways acknowledge him. And then he'll direct your path. You can't straddle the fence. You can't be iffy about the situation. Either you're going to trust him or you ain't.
That's right.
You're either going to trust him with all your heart or you ain't. You can't say, I try not to, because that means sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. He said all your ways acknowledge him.
I didn't. That was a correction. So I was writing down what I was saying, and I missed the word in my writings. I was saying that people tend to try to do that. I was not. Basically, I got you. I see. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You get where I'm coming from.
Right.
I mean, you and I had a conversation earlier.
Yeah.
In the week.
You,
so we got to trust him. We got to stand on his word. We got to believe him for what his word says, so that he can move on our behalf. But when we come to the point where we go through and we get discouraged, and then we forget what the word says. The Bible says we may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Your joy going to come.
Hallelujah.
It's going to come.
Yes, sir.
Your night depends on how long you mess around and not work and understand the word, that the word is what the word is saying.
Yes,
see,
sir.
When you trust and believe in the Lord with all your heart, then he'll fight your battle. He'll supply your needs. And guess what? He bring you to a situation, he'll bring you through the situation. So therefore, Jesus is the joy. He's the light. So what we got to do is look for the light, which is Christ Jesus. He's the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the scripture said we may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. So Jesus is the morning we should strive for. You know the best sleep. You know the best sleep that you have when you go to sleep at night. You lay your head down. The best sleep that you have when you resting is when it's time for what? You to wake up. And you know when it's time to wake up. We sleeping good. We don't want to get up. Lay there, hit that snooze button. We'll hit that snooze button because that's some best sleep. So when you put all your cares in Christ's hands and let Him work it out, then what He do? He keep you in perfect peace.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying? He'll keep you in perfect peace. And next thing you know, you come to a situation, He'll bring you through a situation.
Mm-hmm.
All He wants us to do is to trust Him. That's all He wants us to do. Trust Him. Cast all our cares upon Him. Put our situations in His hands, our needs, our wants, our problems. He said He'll fight our battles. So let Him fight it. See, that's where we come. That's where we fall short at. We get weary and well-doing. We get weary because we don't trust in the Lord with all our hearts. First and foremost, we ain't denied ourselves. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him what? Deny ourselves. When we deny ourselves, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. That's what Proverbs 3:5-6 said. Trust in the Lord all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We get worried and get weary in a situation because we don't see the outcome. The outcome ain't in what we see with our physical eyes. It's in our spiritual eyes. We're supposed to what? Look to the hills to come our help. Our help comes from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get disturbed and distracted and we get caught up in what we see and cause a situation to come up, we get worried. We start right here trying to find a way how to do things when it ain't meant for us to try to do it. All we got to do is trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Once we can learn how to do that and save people as Christians, then we can start seeing our blessings. We can start reaching the fullness of Christ. Because He'll order our footsteps. We do what we want to do, when we want to do it, when it's feasible to us. We say what we want to say. We go where we want to go. We do all these things, and we don't seek Christ first for divine instructions on where to do or where to go. And then we wonder why we go through a situation. Because we ain't acknowledged Christ in all our ways. We ain't pray to ask Him what to do. Lord, how you want me to handle this situation? Lord, what do you want me to do about this situation? Lord, is your will for me to go here? Lord, is your will for me to go there? Lord, direct my path.
Amen.
That's what He wants us to do. But we don't do that.
And
we call ourselves Christians. We ain't Christians. We ain't Christ-like. Because first and foremost, we ain't obedient to what the Word says.
Oh, somebody get the plate ready. Pastor Gary to preach.
We're not doing what Christ wants us to do, and that's why we struggle with this faith walk. Because first and foremost, we're not tuned in with the Spirit. We tuned in to what man said. We quit to go sit up on the church, sit up on the man because somebody invited us to the happening church, our parents' church, our grandparents' church, or whatever reason we do instead of seeking Christ first for instructions on where He wants us to go, where He wants us to worship.
Don't mean to cuss you off, Pastor Jay, but we're going to do this and we're going to finish up on this next Sunday. This is getting good. This is your boy, Deacon Conscious Odom. I hope everyone have a blessed week. Like I said, God, family, relationship, love on each other. Show some love. That's what God wants us to do is love each other regardless. With that being said, y'all have a blessed week. This is your boy again from the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show. Peace.